Hey there, Most Extreme Podcast listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by Souvenir Sense. Did you know that theme park rides use smells to fully immerse you in the world to their rides? And did you wish you could recreate that smell that immerses you in your everyday life? Souvenir Sense is here with the solution. Amazing scented candles that smell like your favorite theme park rides and attractions from around the world. Like this one I've got right here from the Forest of E.T. Adventure. And now, Most Extreme Podcast listeners can get 15% off at checkout with the promo code EXTREME. That's X-T-R-E-M-E to get 15% off on your new favorite candles. So go to SouvenirSense.com to find out more and click on the link in the description. And now, on with the episode.
Coming up, it was the beginning of the touchscreen revolution. Head to the App Store and download this week's topic, 2000s mobile gaming. And this is Most Extreme Podcast.
Welcome to Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the enigma that is 2000s pop culture. I'm Alejandro Joaquin.
And I'm Brett Ellison. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes. After a while, we're back with a brand new episode.
That's right.
And, how do you feel about this one?
Our
is this
topic?
Something that you've been meaning to talk about for a while? Because I don't
Alejandro,
think we've talked about
you got
to
take a seat,
like
buddy. I've been meaning to tell you something, and it's about 2000s mobile gaming. Yes. No, this has been a fun topic. I think this has come up in different forms multiple times, the two of us, where we've both been like, oh, we got to talk about mobile gaming somehow, but we don't know what. Should we just do an episode on Angry Birds? Should we do an episode on Fruit Ninja? How are we doing this?
There's a lot of games, and I don't think we can dedicate a whole episode to just, like, I feel like after a while, every app is kind of have the same story and everything.
Right. And we did an iPod episode with our guest, Micah Iverson, and that kind of talked more about the music side of things. But then, of course, near the end of the 2000s, we get kind of a mixture of things with, like, the iPod Touch era. Mm-hmm. Which, I guess that's more your childhood, right?
Yeah, no, I think the iPod Touch came in, and then especially like when the iPad started coming in too, and that just kind of like, you had every kind of app on the App Store.
That's right. All the obscure like gimmick apps, which we'll talk about too.
And yeah, so should we introduce our guest?
Yes, of course, yeah.
All right, well, so today we have our wonderful guest. We have artist Brian, and
hello.
Hey,
how do you pronounce your last name? It's Brian
Kwan.
Brian Kwan.
Yeah, Brian Kwan.
Yeah. So Brian was very eager to talk about apps. Is there a reason for that?
I mean, I think it's for the same reason that you guys want to talk about them. Just that, you know, this is like they kind of blew up during our childhood, and there was like that point probably when, you know, you guys were like in elementary school or maybe middle school when, yeah, everybody had either like an iPod Touch or like one of those early iPhones. And a big part of why I think people wanted them was because of like all of the games. And it was kind of a revolutionary technology, you know. And I think about like, you know, the Angry Birds movie, like they went on to like, I feel like they went on to have a really big cultural impact that because technology moves by so fast these days, like it's kind of forgotten. But, you know, even these days, mobile gaming is huge. It's obviously changed a lot since, like, you know, 2007, 2009, but definitely had a big impact on me growing up.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for the Cut the Rope movie.
Yeah, where is the Fruit Ninja movie? Where's our John Cena Doodle Jump movie? We've got a lot to worry. So are you still a gamer on your phone, or what are you playing now?
Not really. I mean, I don't play games that much these days, but I was mostly like a PC gamer, you know, back in my gamer days. But also, like, you know, everybody had a phone. Everybody still has their phone, so you couldn't really get away from it, you know.
Right.
Did you start off by playing like iOS games, Brian, or did you kind of, because I know you like Dungeons and Dragons and other kind of like tabletop games, but I wonder what came first.
Yeah, I actually think I got a PC before I had a smartphone. So I think like my first real like introduction to gaming was definitely Minecraft. I feel like that was that's true of a lot of people our age. And so from then on, you know, I kind of got into like Valve, like Steam, their catalog, like Portal, Half-Life, things like that. And then around when around the time that I got an iPhone, actually, around that time, I also saved up a bunch of money and built a gaming PC to be able to play like some higher end stuff. So I remember like the first like AAA graphics game I played was BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, classic.
And that definitely like that like blew my mind. And then there was after that there was a period where you know I played a lot of those kinds of games. That was like throughout high school. And then my PC started crapping out on me. So after that, the gaming kind of waned off, definitely. But during that time, like I was still playing a lot of iPhone games because you know the app store is like I don't know, it's a very reliable piece of hardware, much more than like some computer you might build yourself. And the level of and quality of games that they released were like pretty high quality, you know.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, Brian, it's like it's definitely changed so much as an industry, and we'll get into it. I'm going to argue mostly for the worst, but we'll get into that later.
Brett, what was your like introduction into iOS?
Oh, I have a very distinct memory of early on, must have been like 2009 or something, that my friend's dad got an iPhone, and we were like waiting in like the lobby of a restaurant, and he just handed it to his son and me, and I played that paper toss game. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's just like a bowl of paper. It basically like the same mechanism of Pokemon Go, but instead of throwing it at a Pokemon, you just threw into a like a trash can. And I remember being blown away at the idea of like a touchscreen physics of gaming and being like, "This is it! Throw away the Xbox. No more PlayStation. This is it." And now I don't think I have a single game on my phone. And if any time a child sees my phone, they're like, "You don't have any games on here."
Yeah, I do. I also do have memories of going to the Apple store and just like playing the games, like before I had an iPad or anything like that, where you had the bigger screen and everything.
Do you both remember? This might be before your time, but the times when the Apple store actually had a gaming section.
Yeah,
they had those like cardboard cutouts and stuff of like big games. I remember that's also a thing that I used to do is I would go like play Fruit Ninja at the Apple store. But that does like bring back kind of a time when, you know, it's weird to think nowadays when everybody has their smartphone on them all the time. There actually used to be a time when we were growing up where like literally you had to like go somewhere or know somebody who had an iPhone, and that was like the only way you could play those games. I think that definitely like. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I wonder how many little kids ask for mobile games now, because I feel like every little kid now has their own iPad.
Right. So it's like like Fortnite and everything.
Yeah. So it's like nobody asks you for games anymore.
Dad, can I please get the subscription to Clash of Clans for Christmas? Alejandro, what about you? Did you ever have an iPod Touch or anything like that?
Yeah, so I think my first one was like that iPod like mini one where it was the gray one and it was like the very small screen. But then I got an iPod Touch and basically downloaded like every free game you could get.
Yeah.
It's so funny because that era, I just remember like every app I had was like Lite. Because it was like the free version or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So Rock Band Lite, yeah.
Rock Band Lite, yeah. And also, like, we'll talk about some of the weirder apps, but yeah, like the lighter apps or, you know.
Yeah, Shotgun like app.
And, yeah, like, so that was like my first introduction into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a weird thing for me because I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I have a distinct memory of, and this is kind of just looking through like the history of mobile gaming because it's been around forever. Even if like if you remember like flip phones having like Tetris on there, or like Pac-Man or Space Invaders, like for some reason like back when AT&T was called Singular Wireless, they had like or Verizon. It was just like the easiest games ever. So it's been around forever, but it wasn't. until iOS and Google Play, that, and you know, the adventure of before Android was called that, called Droid phones, and then they got copyrighted by Lucasfilm all the time.
Back in the day, even like my parents had like a Palm Pilot. Do you guys remember Palm Pilots?
Palm Pilots. Like, that sounds no. Familiar.
This is like this is back in the day when like Blackberries were kind of like the most popular phone. It was like just on the cusp. It was like this little personal organizer kind of thing.
Oh,
but it had a touch screen.
Yeah, with the stylus.
And like a stylus. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there was like a bubble popping game on there where you would.
Oh, wow.
It was like a grid of bubbles and you would pop them of the same color. That was probably the first like touchscreen game that I ever played. But it was right when, you know, touchscreens were actually becoming sort of a thing.
This is a little bit like older, but I remember also like the really bougie like calculators that were touchscreen. I don't know if you guys ever got to see those.
Oh, like the TI
calculators. Yeah, or sometimes it came with a stylus or something. But yeah, you could also like download like games into that, and people would like download Mario and Tetris. But that reminds me of those iOS games too.
But to me, just really in terms of looking at kind of the history of all mobile gaming, the progression of mobile gaming to me wasn't the flip phone kind of like PDA stuff, but it was more becoming the predecessor of it was like web browser gaming, like Flash games online. Like websites, I'm talking like addictinggames.com or like
free
cool math games. Yes. We have discussed that in length, about like I think that's its own episode. Or like miniclip.com, all these websites where the kind of the concepts of them being like games that didn't take very long to play, and also like indie developers could kind of just make whatever and then just, you know, allow it to come out.
Yeah, I think some like really popular indie games like started out as Flash games, like Binding of Isaac is one of those that comes to mind, and a couple of others. But that's definitely like, I think... Flash games and also like early mobile games, because they were so relatively easy to develop, they didn't require like a big studio or big team. It was much more a breeding ground for like new ideas and innovation, which I think is like kind of why they were so popular at the very beginning, where it seemed like every game kind of was something new or bringing something new to the table. Whereas nowadays, you know, a lot of the mobile games we see these days are kind of very microtransaction heavy, very much like just trying to get you to spend a little bit more time or a little bit more money, and not as much innovating in like the gameplay department.
I wonder how much in these early sites there were games that were just like ripoffs of other games. Because I remember like playing Super Mario, but you could put like Metroid Man in there instead of Mario. I don't know if those had those types of games, but I remember those.
Yeah, it was definitely the Wild West back in the early 2000s in terms of Flash animation games. But that was kind of the fun part. It's sort of the same if like with the Steam store, where kind of anything can go on there without... But I feel like the App Store is even way worse, where it's like, oh, no copyright exists here.
Yeah, some of them are really comedic. Like there's like this one Flash or one mobile game that's like all these knockoff like Mario characters, and like, the voice acting is just like terrible. But
yeah, but it's really once the iPhone and the Android phones like came into the picture, is like the idea of like mobile gaming changed for good. Really all the interfaces of technology were changing to touchscreen, and the whole idea of, because the big thing about mobile gaming is most everything's done one-handed or even one finger, like your thumb, and that was the revolutionary part that made developers have to be like, okay, we need to completely think about like no controller at all, or if a controller, it's just like one finger. What do we do?
Did the first like was some of the first phones for this, did they also have the motion sensor thing where you could like guide something with
there was like the gyroscopic control. Because I remember I used to have before I got an iPhone, I had this like, I don't even know what the brand was. It was just like one of those Android touchscreen phones. And it had like a marble game on it, and you would like tilt the phone and roll the marble down in those directions. And I think like I'm trying to remember if like something like Temple Run, could you like tilt the phone to like get the guy to like move left and right? I don't know if that was
Are you talking about Super Monkey Ball?
No, I think in I think in Temple Run you can also like they just like run from like they don't like turn, but they just like lean either way so that you don't hit the logs or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely remember the first time getting an iPhone Touch, and it had the big problem of if you turned it just slightly one way, then like the whole screen would flip upside down, and you're like, "Go back!" Yeah. And it still happens to this day.
Did you both ever really use that gyroscope? Because I feel like I've never met anybody that prefers that, on the phone at least.
Well, not really. It's just like watching YouTube videos. You like flip it horizontally. Yeah. Or
well, the thing about the fact that, like, you know, once the iPhone first came out and it was so revolutionary at the time is that a lot of the marketing that was done for the video games and stuff and mobile gaming was being done towards non-gamers by creating new and exciting games that for people who normally even wouldn't have a Nintendo DS or get into any kind of mobile gaming. It's similar to something like when the Nintendo Wii came out and a lot of the marketing was trying to capitalize on people who are non-gamers, who are casual, but it was the innovative type of gameplay that got them excited about it and that got them into gaming.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a big shift of like demographics around who was considered a gamer, almost entirely due to mobile games. Like if you think about it, like all like the moms who play Candy Crush are like gamers, but they would never touch a video game console if it wasn't literally like in their pocket.
Oh, we'll get into Candy Crush, Brian. Don't worry. Yeah, and I mean, like, yeah, like my dad had games on his phone. I think that was the first time being like, "Dad, can I borrow your phone?" And he was getting kind of annoyed at that as a child. But do you guys remember how clunky and heavy the first iPhone was?
Oh yeah, I think it's like right now if you take one of those mouses from Apple, it's like that thick it used to be, and it used to be like round too.
Yeah,
and there was also like not. There wasn't as much that sense of like minimalist design, you know. There was definitely a different design sense where, like the, I forget what it's called, but there's a thing where you design the app or the icon to actually look like the physical object. So like the old YouTube logo used to be like literally a little TV box.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people used to have like. They used to have their wallpaper or whatever look like a little shelf, and all the apps were like little things that were on the shelf. And that's totally, I mean, there are still remnants of that a little bit, but yeah. You're sharing your screen now. I can see all these like.
You can even see that it's like
gradient shaded.
The bottom is supposed to be like a shelf, like some sort of metal shelf, it looks like.
Yeah.
We have the Photos app was a picture of a sunflower.
And all the apps had that gloss over them too, so they looked like
Yeah.
Very like physical, tangible. Like you want to click a button was sort of the idea, and of course the iPod button too, which was a whole app on its own, which is brings it back. I just find it funny though. It's just like especially in the early 2000s, there was a point where you know you'd wear like cargo shorts, and then in every pocket you would have like your flip phone, your wallet, your keys, your DS, your digital camera, your iPod, and now the iPhone can just do like all of it. So I kind of want to go back in a way. I'm like, bring me back to the days where I had separate devices.
I think that also like. The UI sometimes makes it so complicated to navigate through all of this. So it's I just like, I remember having physical stuff. It helps.
Yeah, especially because there's something also tangible to the buttons of it all. I don't know if I'm going to share this on the show, but like at some point, hopefully this year, my goal is to get rid of my smartphone, mainly just because I'm like, especially like when I'm hanging out with friends, it's like you have that urge to be like, I'm just going to check Instagram real quick. And it's like, no, I want to like be present, you know. So my plan is to switch to a flip phone and then have an iPad for all that stuff. But I just leave it at home. So
I think there is something to be said about like the abstraction of different like the way we interface with media. Like I think about it in terms of music, where, you know, back in the day you used to have like a vinyl collection or like a cassette tape, and these were actual tangible objects that like represented different albums. And if you wanted to like make a playlist or like a mixtape, you would literally have to like take these different songs and like or like burn them onto CDs and things like that. It was almost like there was like this ritual behind it. Whereas nowadays, you know, with like Spotify and other streaming platforms, you can listen to literally any song you want, like all the time. But that does remove some of that, almost like the magic of creating a personal playlist or like having an album that really means something significant to you. And then like every time you take out that cassette, it like triggers that memory. You know, we've kind of lost a little bit of that at the exchange of, I guess, the convenience of being able to listen to literally anything without having to go to like, you know, a record store or something and actually find it, you know?
Yeah. And I think people still have that desire for a DJ or a radio host or something to like have somebody kind of control the vibe or the music or something like that rather than one person. So that's why people still have, like, I guess Pandora is still kind of popular because it's a playlist that's being done with or a radio station. Or even, yeah, like I still listen to the radio sometimes if I'm just like, I want somebody else take the wheel. Not that kind of wheel, the DJ wheel. So Brian, what were some of the first games you remember playing on your iPod Toucher from the App Store?
I was a big Fruit Ninja person. I think the two big ones were like Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja. But Fruit Ninja was very much like my thing. I still remember. I think if you gave me like an iPad now, there are little combos you could do. Like, you know, those, like, do you guys remember those little bananas? Like there was the freeze banana. Yep. There was like the point multiplier banana. There are all. So you would want to get the one that like threw all the fruit at you. And then you would want to like do the freeze, and then you could get like crazy combos. And like I have two sisters, and I remember me and my older sister would always like, we would try to like one up each other and get more combos. And I think, you know, it was like 24 fruit or something, like a 24 fruits in a single swipe. That was like my biggest flex as a kid. But you had to have like all those special bananas. But yeah, it was fun. Like, there's definitely a technique to it. And I, you know what? I don't know why they never made a Fruit Ninja movie. I would have gone and seen that.
Did you ever play that Fruit Ninja game where it's like motion and you like, it's like a big screen and you like actually slash your hand? You like see those arcades and Frankie's.
Yeah, I see them at a card. It's like a giant like display, and you can like, and that to me kind of like took out the joy of Fruit Ninja, because the fun part is like it being on the iPad, but now that it's like at arcades, I'm like, what?
Now you're just like waving your hands, and you're not even sure if it's picking it up.
Yeah, and it's not as tangible.
There was also that video of that guy who like was trying to do the Fruit Ninja thing, and I think he cut his hand. Because he was using like a real katana
in real life.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh wow.
Wait, he was like actually.
It was
slicing
like
fruit.
It was like, yeah, they were like throwing fruit at him, so he just like was slicing it. No formal training. No, like he's not like a special. Yeah.
He did not study the.
Okay, guys, I'm doing the Fruit Ninja challenge.
Yeah, I think I started out with like Fruit Ninja, and then I remember there was a point when Hearthstone got ported to the iPhone. I don't know if you guys ever played Hearthstone, but that was like when I was younger, I was a big like strategy card game player. I played a lot of like Magic the Gathering, and Hearthstone is kind of a simpler, more like user-friendly version of that game. That also, you know, a couple like, you know, maybe like a year or so after it came out, it was ported to the iPhone, and I think that's where it really found its market, because it was one of those games where the way you interact with it on an iPhone versus a PC were basically identical. There was very little difference. And so there was cross-platform play introduced like as soon as it came out. And so Hearthstone became probably my like most played mobile game for a really long time.
Yeah, I was actually, this has never come up, when I was living in Japan, all the kids that I was working with at the school were obsessed with Hearthstone. It was like, it became such a distraction that we were like, all right, everyone, no Hearthstone, because y'all are not paying attention. But yeah, that was definitely a huge one too. That a little later on for sure, but yeah, Fruit Ninja was the one. Alejandro, what do you remember from the?
Yeah, I well, actually, looking at this picture that you put of some of the ones, I distinctly remember this like touch hockey game.
Yes.
I was obsessed with. And
so we're going to post this on, for people who don't know what we're looking at. I'll post this on our website. What we're looking at is a chart of the year 2008, the top paid apps and the top free apps of 2008 on the App Store.
Yeah, so I definitely remember that touch hockey game and the Pac-Man light game. And I think I even had probably like a lightsaber one, not that exact one, but I remember having one of those. And also, like, just the big one for me was just like Angry Birds. I think I actually like people knew that I liked Angry Birds, so for like Christmas presents I would get stuff like that, which just means I had a lot of Angry Birds stuff, and I didn't even really like Angry Birds that much, but but I used to play it like a lot. And this was before like really all the spin-offs started coming though. Because then I remember they made, like, the Star Wars version.
Right,
there was Transformers.
Yeah.
There was, now there's, like, so many. There's superhero versions or something. But, yeah, it was, like, Angry Birds was the one. And the theme song was stuck in my head all the time. And I played a little bit of Cut the Rope and a little bit of that. What's that one with the crocodile that is like digging and he's like trying to?
Oh, it has to, like, Disney on it. I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
Of it.
Oh, I forgot about that one. But yeah, you have to drain out the water or like guide the water towards somewhere or something.
It's like pipes.
But
I don't remember what you're talking about. But I do know the amount of times I've been on YouTube and I've gotten ads for like the most crappy knockoffs. That are like,
oh,
you can't beat this game, and it looks like it was made on like Microsoft Paint, and it's always something like, oh no, the IV is going in the wrong into
there's,
the woman.
There's so many YouTube channels that do videos on just reviewing ads for video games for like apps nowadays, because there's just some weird stuff out there where like it's like a baby jumping like cars or something, and it's like only people who push P can do this game or something like that, where it's just
right.
Like very bad,
and it's like trying humor. To get so you can be like I could do that.
Yeah
it's very it's a weird time
for mobile gaming, I think.
Yeah, especially now because it seems like anybody can get in.
It's almost like clickbait as a game.
Yes what
There's
about
also,
you Brett?
There's a ton of ones, sorry, but there's a ton of them that are like popping zits, like a lot of those stuff where I'm like, oh, get this, skip ad now. I will never buy YouTube Red, but I please get this off the screen. Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember Paper Toss being one. You mentioned the air hockey one being really fun. I have a really distinct memory of when the movie Inception came out, I was in line for it at the IMAX in downtown Raleigh, shout out. And the people in front of us in line all had iPhones. There was four of them, and they all were multiplayer playing air hockey with each other.
Wow.
So it would bounce around in like a square of people on all their phones, and I remember being blown away by that.
That is so
funny. And also being
funny.
Like, oh, it's also 2010 and battery life isn't that great, so that's not going to last very long. Well, I want to talk a little bit just looking at some of these top paid and free apps. The number one, I don't know if you guys remember this one, is Koi Pond, which was essentially just like a digital screensaver of Koi Pond, and then you could tap it and the fish would kind of like swim around.
I remember that. How much was that game?
I want to say it was $1.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it even a game, really, or was it kind of just you, like an interactable little piece
like
of art?
Like a simulator.
Yeah, it was more like a demo thing that you could show off when if you just got the iPhone and you wanted to show, like, grandma, like, check this out.
Look what
and
I can
she's
do.
Like, wow.
I just remembered what I was going to say, actually. It was just a distinct memory of, like, this Shrek karting game. It was like a go-kart
Shrek
game,
karting
but
game.
with. Yeah, but with Shrek, and it's like, it was, it just reminded me because it was like connected to Shrek 2, the movie.
That
it was funny. Also a weird time back then for games.
Yeah, I mean, I think people still do that now because, you know, mobile games have such a relatively quick turnaround time for development. Like, you can do movie tie-ins like that. People don't really make, like, big AAA tie-in games these days because, again, there's so much development time and money involved. But with mobile games, like, there are those, there's, like, that Marvel fighting game. So whenever a new Marvel movie comes out, you know, they can just put whatever superhero you know, was featured into this new game. Or like you said, like the Angry Birds, you know, whenever the new Star Wars came out, they would put out a new Angry Birds Star Wars or something like that.
Oh, that might be a topic all on its own, is movie tie-in video games, which was huge. And that thinks like, I think around like the 2010s, it just kind of stopped. Like, I'm talking like if the Ratatouille movie came out, you got a Ratatouille game for like the PlayStation 2. And they were not at all like the movie.
Right.
It was usually just, like, platformers, and they were, like, very similar game, like, gameplay-wise.
Yeah. I remember...
Sometimes they were just a random game with, like, that movie as a skin just, like, thrown on.
Yeah. I remember the Madagascar game being really fun, but that's the only thing I had.
There was all these, like, I remember when the first few Marvel movies were coming out, there were also apps. There was, like, Captain America, and you just, like, it was, like, just a platformer, and you just threw your shield and stuff. Or it was, like, any kind of superhero.
Yeah. Well, I want to mention, because especially later on, like, 2009, 2010, is where you start getting a lot of developers porting games onto the mobile app. So, like, the big one would be, like, Sims 3. Which was already huge on PC, but then once it got on mobile app, then you've got a whole other market playing, and then even things like, I remember like a FIFA game being on the app, and it's nothing at all like the ones you're getting on the bigger consoles. It's just like, you know, tapping a bunch of times, or Madden, or...
But I think these days, like, phone hardware is good enough that you have games like Fortnite, where it's kind of an identical experience across platforms, you know?
And now, I remember when they brought the Minecraft Pocket Edition, and I was blown away that you could do that on the iPhone, probably like 5 is when they introduced it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that and the, now they have Roblox too. I remember I saw that.
Are you a Roblox player? Is that what you're telling us?
I am not a Roblox player, but I am amazed that a game like Roblox can run on like those devices.
Right. But I want to mention also, because there was a decent amount of like other like indie titles that had come out. Like the big one I have here is Cannibalt, which was like kind of the first of like the Infinite Runners. But this was done like an action movie, like pixelated kind of art style. I remember being really fun. And that was way before Temple Run or any of those stuff. But yeah, then there's also things like Cooking Mama, which was already on the Wii, and then they put it on there. And this is way before Nintendo was like, you know what, maybe we should start getting into the mobile kind of game stuff.
Right. And now they have all these kind of like app versions of their games now.
Right, exactly. Which also have microtransactions in them.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of some other ones that are big. Well, I guess the two, to me, the three big ones that like changed the entire mobile gaming industry are Angry Birds, which the big reason is because that came from the web browser flash animation stuff, because they had made games like Crush the Castle, which is essentially the same thing, but with catapults instead of birds. So they came from that, and then this is, I believe, where you get the birth of like the cheap knockoffs is from Angry Birds, in the hope of making a big quick return, because there are so many ripoffs of Angry Birds on the App Store as of this day. And it's the same thing that happened with Temple Run, where you get a million, there's like a Minions one, and there's like so many different like ripoffs. And again, that kind of like franchise based spinoffs that you were talking about, Alejandro.
You just get oversaturated like with the fakes and the spin-offs that you don't even know which one's which.
Right. And then Candy Crush, which we mentioned earlier, or Trivia Crack is another one, which was sort of that beginning of microtransaction games that only are really only to be played like once a day, but unless you pay a ton of money, then you can play it for as long as you want. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, where it's one of those things where they make you play, they like reward you for coming back every day, right? Or is it one of those things?
I've never played Candy Crush, so I couldn't tell you.
I have not played Candy Crush either.
Neither.
Oh, wow.
We should have gotten a Candy Crush consultant.
I think I saw enough moms who were into it that I was like, this looks, if they've got the parents, this can't be. And I remember like it just being creepy. I don't know. There's something about it that felt wrong. But yeah, that same kind of idea. Like Farmville is another example of that, where it's like, and Clash of Clans is like early on of that, where it's like you can play like a couple minutes a day, or you could play as long as you want.
That whole just Facebook too, like web browser games, I think helped put so many moms into gaming.
Yeah,
and older people.
I remember my like sixth grade math teacher would play Farmville in class.
Wow. Did you call her out on it?
No, everybody knew it was happening, but they were like, I don't know. It made it so that she was easy on us when we were goofing off.
She was a true gamer.
Yeah.
She had the headphones and everything, the chair.
Mm-hmm. Mountain Dew on the desk.
The RGB keyboard.
Yeah.
That was just a weird time, especially because if that felt, especially for me around my age where I was starting to go like, maybe I should step back from all this. But yeah, the big one I want to talk about, this doesn't have anything to do with the 2000s, but Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
Which was the whole idea of like a creator who put out this indie game for himself that was sort of like a mix of like a challenging kind of game, and then immediately took it off the App Store because he didn't want it to become a huge chaotic thing. And then it inevitably just chaos ensued, and it was nothing but ripoffs on the App Store for like a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the reason why he took it off? I heard it was just that it made like some obscene amount of money and he didn't feel good about like...
That's everything I've been able to find is that he was just like, this isn't good for humanity, and then took it off.
Wow. And
then, I remember people like selling iPhones like with Flappy Bird on it, because you couldn't download it from the App Store anymore, so people were just selling their entire phone. It's funny.
But there were a lot of ripoff apps too where it was like Floppy Bird or Fluffy Bird.
Flippy
and
Bird.
It's just it's just the same thing, but the bird is like blue or something.
Right.
Yeah.
That it also kind of felt like the last big era to me of, well, after, I guess Pokemon Go would probably be the last big sensation app. I can't really think of some other ones other than like, well, now we have things like I guess Among Us, which I can't believe I'm even bringing that
up.
Or currently like Wordle, but that's a browser game.
It's like a from the New York Times, right?
Yeah, and there's
I think they bought it. Yeah,
and that has no ads, and the amount of kids in my neighborhood who are obsessed with it, and it wasn't out of like the teacher being like, "All right, kids, now we're doing the Wordle." It's like, I've got to beat my friends at the Wordle today. I'm like, all right. I don't see anything wrong with this.
Never thought I heard that. I would hear that, but
yeah, kids are obsessed with it. I know that. I love the Wordle, by the way.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, no, it's so good. Yeah, I think this this era of games is really interesting.
But also that sort of big, like, time of interactive kind of like stuff. The big ones, there's all these like gimmick apps that started with the iPhone. If you remember, like we've talked about. The lighter app.
Yep.
I distinctly remember going to a concert and just pulling out my iPod Touch and waving it back and forth.
I find it so funny how, like, the original, like, flashlight thing was that, like, they would just turn your screen, like, really bright.
Yeah.
But
right.
I don't think the iPod Touch had a flash.
No, I don't think so.
You had to download it by itself, I think. Or later on you did, yeah.
I don't think the camera came with a flash until later, but yeah, I remember that being very not really useful.
I remember some of the other ones I wrote down that I remembered were pocket guitar, which was just like an air guitar kind of thing that you could just like strum. Did it work? I mean, not really. It was just like you could strum chords pretty much.
It's kind of like the what you can do with the GarageBand now.
Right, and you can do GarageBand on an iPad. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, no, the Shotgun app, I have a memory of doing a summer theater camp, and we had to do there was an effect in the play where somebody had a prop gun, and somebody behind camera put the aux in their iPod Touch and then did the Shotgun app, like, chucked it back and forth and then, like, pretended to shoot it, and we, that's how we did it.
Live action Foley. Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of hilarious. The lightsaber app, Lightsaber Unleashed, I definitely remember that.
Yep.
There was the
ones where it was like the buttons, where it was like either the bleep button or it would do
the
effects.
The sensor
like,
bleep one, yeah.
Or fart or record scratch or something.
Yeah.
There's also fart. Like the beer one where you could tilt the phone.
Oh yeah.
The liquid would
right.
like go.
And all of these apps are only made to be like, hey guys, check this out, you know? Yeah. It's never to be like.
It's purely
wow.
just a gimmick. Yeah.
I'm really interested that now that they're really trying to push the metaverse thing. I wonder what kind of gimmicky things we're gonna get with that. Because I remember seeing a video of like you can do online shopping, but you're like in a virtual store and you're actually walking around, and like picking items up, which is just like that seems like more work than just.
Going to the
website,
store.
Just scrolling.
or just going to the website if you're ordering like for delivery or something, and just like clicking and just selecting and that's it. So
well, I mean, I think this like gimmick stage is kind of where VR is at right now, where you know the technology's still. I mean, VR these days is really good, but the price of it plus like how kind of clunky it is. It's definitely like keeping most, you know, the average consumer or whatever from being able to do VR. So right now, a lot of it is kind of these tech demos where there's not even like a game or like an experience really. It's just you're sitting somewhere and there are all these things that you can pick up or you can like draw something with like a marker. But like, I don't know. It's interesting because recently I was able to play Half-Life Alyx, which is like a full game and that is developed by one of it's kind of amazing, but what surprised me is like throughout it, sprinkled throughout this actual game experience are these little kind of nuggets of gimmickry where you can just pick up a bottle and like shake it around and see the liquid or like draw with a marker on like a window. There is still elements of that, and so I'm curious to see like how that trend is going to play out in VR.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as we're getting things like the Oculus, which don't require a PC to be hooked up to and things like that, that it will be. Yeah, especially. Yeah, it's the same around the same time, like you were saying, where it's like, oh, this is really cool, even though I'm pressing I fart over and over again. But I can see the potential of using something like this for something really cool. And that's definitely where VR is. Yeah, you're totally right. But it's weird though, because I feel like the industry for mobile gaming now, as we've talked about, is so fragmented with just repetitive advertising and microtransactions that to me personally, like, it's definitely like graphically and so much moved so forward, but it seems like the industry is just trying to push everything they can for that dollar. That it's similar to that fate that web browser games got, where if you went on any website you would get these obnoxious ads for, if you just play like one level, they would have to put an ad in between every level. And I'm like, do we need an ad between every like 5 second level? I don't know.
It definitely like it used to be such a pastime, but now I think that it's just like it gets annoying to play these apps more than like rewarding, because they're either trying to sell you something or you're just getting all these ads. So it's not like before when you just kind of would load the app and play it for like a couple seconds and then leave. And now it's like takes so long to load, and you got to make app accounts, you got to connect it to your Apple Arcade, you got to do this and that, and you know what happened to just like clicking a button and it would press a fart sound. You know?
Yeah. The best game ever.
Yeah. I think that's something that is not specifically unique to like mobile gaming either. It's just like gaming in general and also life in general is we kind of can't really avoid the ads anymore, which is why I think I agree with what you were saying earlier, Brett, about like getting rid of your phone. Part of it is like, yeah, you want to be more socially connected to the people around you. And also part of it is like, I don't know, I don't like being advertised to 24/7.
Right.
Because on social media, on any kind of platform, it's just there.
Right. And you're seeing ads for this stuff constantly. I mean, just even like, let's think about like Raid Shadow Legends, where it's gotten to the point where they advertise so much that it's become a meme at this point. Which brings us to today's sponsor. I'm going to put in an ad for Raid Shadow Legends there, and then we'll be like, all right, we're back. But yeah, no, everything about the specifically just, yeah, like you were saying, Brian, just kind of like in general, the kind of gaming in general, it feels more, especially, I think the thing that annoys me more is, like we were saying, those ads that feel kind of cheap and gross and like preying on like the young in a way that feels like they're trying to get kids addicted to it to spend their own money on like the dumbest games where it's like, just put this, connect this rope to here. Yeah. That's the stuff that I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah. No, it's like everything is getting targeted to kids because I don't know if like they're the ones that like spend a lot of time now on the internet. Like, I don't know how.
I'm sure like, they are.
I'm sure they take up a big like amount. But like you see with everything too, like YouTube is like there's all these weird channels that are like you know that they're like strictly for kids because like no adult would ever really want to watch something like that. But yeah, like it reminds me of that.
For research for this episode, I watched a video by this channel called Extra Punctuation, and it was called "What the Heck Happened to Mobile Gaming." It was super informative, and this kind of explains why I think that kind of, you know, weird competitive knockoff stuff has kind of really hurt like indie developers. Is that in the video they were talking about the guy Yahtzee? He was talking about this indie title that came out last year called Unpacking. Which, if you haven't played it, it's really fun. It's a really cool game because all you're doing is just unpacking boxes and to new living spaces. But they take that one gimmick and they can create a whole story out of it because you never see the protagonist, but you start as like a child and you work your way up as a parent into seeing like what items have you kept throughout this person's life. So it's really, really cool game. And
wait,
then of
so
course,
what's the goal of the game? To just unpack?
Yeah, there's no. It's okay. A very like relaxing game, but you just have boxes, and then you're just the idea is to just, you know, put them throughout the house in the right places. I thought it was gonna be, you know, it's a very one gimmick kind of game, but they were able to tell a whole story out of it with a really cool like pixelated art style. Check it out, it's really fun. But the only after a few months of it being out, someone online created like the most obvious mobile game clone of it to the point where like the level layouts are the exact same and like whoa, like all like the items are the same. And
are
like,
these
only
the pictures comparisons?
Yeah, the difference is that the cheap knockoff is flooded with ads to the point where it's obnoxious. And so the developers wrote on Twitter about it, how they were like, yeah, we're a really small indie team, this took us like several years to wake, and this is really like demoralizing to our team that someone would do it. People complained enough because it's to the point where it's such a ripoff that you're literally like taking the same like designs that it's like, okay, this is straight up just stealing. But it was the number one, it was the top app on the App Store for like a month.
The real one or the fake one?
The fake one.
Wow.
Wow.
So that really just speaks to, yeah, just the quick buck that the App Store, and they've gotten into so much trouble already with like the Epic Games kind of thing where it's like, yeah, Apple's even taking a profit from developers who have put so much into it.
I wonder like what, like how do you determine copyright for a video game? Like, because there's so much like things like the art style and the way you play the game. I don't know how you prove like in court that it's a ripoff.
I'm sure there has to be a way of doing it.
But it is also unlikely that they'll ever like bring them to court because I don't know, stuff like that, like especially on the internet, like I don't know, I feel like people do stuff like that and are never held accountable. But you talking about unpacking reminds me, like, there are actually, you know, even though a lot of what we've been talking about today is kind of the downfall of the mobile game, or like how it's become so riddled with like microtransactions or whatever, there are a couple of really, really good mobile games that like genuinely utilize the format and the medium to like deliver a strong, like a really strong artistic experience. So I'm just going to shout out two right now. One of them is called Sword and Sorcery. This is like pretty old. It came out in like 2012, I think, but or 2011. Wow. But yeah, it's has really good music. It's kind of like an RPG, a very like distinctive pixel art style. That's Sword and Sorcery, and Sorcery spelled with a W, S-W. But yeah, and also there's this game called Florence, which is also an indie game. Came out pretty recently. But this is a game, you talking about unpacking reminded me of it, because it's, you kind of follow the life of like this woman as she like meets a guy, and then they get into a relationship, and then eventually they break up, spoilers. But throughout this game, like it explores it not through like, there's no dialogue at all. It's very much like the little mundane actions that make up, you know, everybody's life that they use to like tell the story. So, and it fits like the iPhone. The game feels like it should fit in the palm of your hand, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there will always be, you know, there will always be shitty, you know, big corporations trying to exploit people for money, but there will also always be people who use the technology to like, you know, deliver on a creative experience. So
yeah.
Shout out to those two.
Yeah,
games.
Absolutely. I mean, if I had to shout out some games that I think are great, are Mini Metro, which is awesome. Monument Valley, Crossy Road. There's a ton of really cool stuff out there, and they are able to find their audience, which is awesome. Because I think they also have an idea of what they're going for, rather than a lot of bigger ones that are like, we want everybody to play in this game. Because I think the market for mobile gaming has changed a lot from, let's get everybody into this, to let's get kids and people who care about gaming and good experiences. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, any final thoughts? I guess I don't really have much else to say.
Yeah, I mean, just I guess I'll shout out, I think a lot of people know this already, but that Tomb of the Mask game, I don't know if you guys
Tomb of the Mask have ever,
yeah, it's kind of like Pac-Man, but very different, very cool art style. So if you guys ever if you guys like Pac-Man, you would like this game. Yeah,
I think I played a similar, it was probably made by the same developer.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, I did play this game. Dude, you just unlocked, like, a memory. No,
yeah,
through,
this
like,
this was more popular back then.
That's,
yeah,
that's the goal of the show.
Game. Yeah.
Is to unlock memories.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk a lot about Apple Arcade, which is pretty hit or miss, but there are some pretty cool stuff on there.
Does that have, like, games? Or
yeah, it's, like, their version of doing, like, a Xbox Game Pass. It's definitely not the same, which that's sort of like the only reason you should have an Xbox these days is the Xbox Game Pass, to get like over 400 games for $1 a month,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what kind of games, like is it any of the good ones?
There's a couple of like Lego ones. What the Golf is on there, which is pretty fun. I'm looking at some of them right now. There's a couple Lego ones, NBA 2K. Grindhouse is pretty fun. That's also on the Switch. That's the one thing that's kind of, we didn't really talk about Nintendo because they have consistently been handheld and kind of mobile stuff, even to this day, with like Pokemon Go and their like Animal Crossing and stuff.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
No, like I think like a lot of these games are just based on that kind of old Nintendo style, which is why, yeah, like I hate it at first when there was no Nintendo stuff on the App Store, because I was like, oh, it's so perfect for it, because it's
right,
small portable games that are like timeless.
Right.
Yeah. But I think Nintendo, they focus on their like own platforms and stuff, but there are emulators. Like one of my friends, he's playing through the entire like classic Pokemon catalog on his phone, and it's all through an emulator.
Yes. That is the one benefit we did not talk about, because We are not advocating for piracy. But if we were, what you would want to do is go to this website. Yeah, definitely. That's the fun part, is that you can straight it up play it like an old Game Boy, which is really fun.
Yeah, we also didn't really talk that much about Pokemon Go, but I feel like that's something that it deserves its own episode because
the cultural
impact of it was kind of like monumental for the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think the ramifications of it will be like seen in the future too.
Right. Check out our Pokemon Heart and Gold, whatever episode. That's the funny thing, the amount of times that we've talked about Pokemon, we've done one Pokemon episode, and we did talk about Pokemon a little bit, and I feel so bad for Alejandro, who has no background in anything Pokemon whatsoever,
yeah,
and just kind of sits there and goes, yeah.
I like it. I'm curious about it, but I definitely cannot relate.
you haven't gone deep enough, I think.
I have not gone into the Pokemon Vault that much. I haven't seen any of the shows or anything.
You haven't gotten to the tip of the iceberg. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, you are a guest on our show, so that does mean you get a prize, which is not here, but it is. We mentioned a little game called Cut the Rope, and we do have for you the plush of the monster from Cut the Rope.
Oh, yo.
I don't know his name. I might sound like an idiot.
Is that like a little? What is he? Is like an alligator or like a?
It's like
an
alien, like an alien, I think.
Okay, cool.
But that will be coming to you, hopefully soon.
Well, that's adorable.
Sweet. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, also, anything you want to promote while you're here?
Not really. I guess I'm on Instagram. If you want to see some of my art, I am at bk.art. That's BEEKAY. .art.
Yeah. Please check out his art. Brian has some really cool stuff. He's my roommate, so I always see his stuff being made, and if you guys like cool art.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of painting, a lot of recently more like collage and stuff, but I am working on a graphic novel, so maybe if I'm on this show again at some point, I'll promote that, but yeah.
Heck yeah.
Check out my Instagram at bk.art.
Awesome. Alejandro, do you want to plug anything? Hey, Oscar season just happened. I guess we're recording it before the Oscars. Any movies that you're excited about?
To be honest, I don't even know what was nominated because, like, I can't keep
up. Well, Dune.
Duh. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm cheering for Dune, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sound design for sure. It's got to win that. And did any of the like new stuff that got released recently get nominated? Because I know a bunch of stuff got released.
I'm rooting for Drive My Car. I don't know if
I have not heard of that.
I've been meaning to watch Drive My Car.
It was very, very good. I think it's the first Japanese language movie to be nominated for Best Director.
Wow.
I'm hoping it wins because that movie really. It punched me in the gut emotionally.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, go see Drive My Car.
Go see Drive My Car.
I don't know.
It's on HBO Max. I know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go see it.
As well as Dune, which you can watch.
On HBO.
Yes. Turning Red. Watch that. It's really good. I love it.
Oh, yes. Yes. You guys should watch that.
Did you see it?
I've not seen it, but one of my friends got to meet the director of it.
What?
Yeah.
We got to have her on the show. Because the whole movie takes place in the 2000s, and I'm like, oh, man, we have got to get her on. If we can get her on the show, if she's listening, Domi Shi, please come on our show. Yeah. All right. If you have any questions, email us at mostestreampodcast@gmail.com. We have new art that came out. Check it out, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.